Paul said these words, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and sorrow in my heart. For I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. And over in the 10th chapter, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Let us pray. Almighty God, we know there's people who still have saddened memories of 9/11. We think of the many calls of our country to freedom. We think going back to all the days. Remember the Alamo. Remember Pearl Harbor. And remember other dates of events and the terrible things that have happened since then. God bless America. And God help us to stand. And Lord, comfort those hearts of those and help them to feel proud who had to give up a loved one for a service somewhere, whether it was 9/11 or someplace else. Bless, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. God bless America, amen. I trust that you're on the winning side and believe in America. We're glad to have America. I say to all those people that want to come here and tear up this way of life, if that's the case, go back to where you came from, to that socialist country, to that communist country that does the way that you didn't like it when you left, and stay there. Not come here and tear ours down. And we need more people inside America understanding that. We had a talk about student loan repayments this morning. That's another form of socialism, a step to communism. That's more and more what the people who are in charge now are trying to do. I want to speak to you today about sin begets sin. Everybody who got into a lot of trouble started out usually, not always, usually with some small sin, and it wasn't so bad, and they started another one, another one. I remember years ago, Sunday afternoon, my dad would have an old battery radio turned on. And we lived in Kentucky, up the river from Cincinnati. And they would go in there every Sunday afternoon, somebody with a microphone, and talk to one of the prisoners about their life and how they got there. And usually, not always, the guy would talk about something he stole that was of very little importance, but went on and on. We think about Adam and Eve. I've thought about that a lot. God said, don't eat of that tree. So why did she go down and take a look? The look before the temptation and before the sin always comes. We have to have a look. We have to see. And the devil's always tempting. And then once you sin, another thing that wasn't happy for her, just to be herself in sin, she involved her husband in it. And that's what sin does. It begets sin. It keeps the stone rolling. It keeps moving. Someone's going to ask you to attend a party or go for a drive. And their intent is to get you to sin. And they'll get you to look. And then you taste. And you see it's not all that bad. They didn't tell you that the genes within your life those physical genes will start craving that whatever it is you did, whatever it was. We think about David. David was supposed to be out with his men. He was the leader of his men. David stayed home. One look across the way, he saw Uriah's wife. And she didn't have any clothes on. She was sunbathing. And so he said, I want to know more about this. All it took was that look. But the things that led up to it, when we let sin project our steps, give us the life that we want to investigate, we're usually bored about the way we are living, and then we get into trouble. We have the story of Solomon. We've been studying about him, about prayer. We studied about how Solomon had all this stuff on our Wednesday night and Sunday night. God gave him wisdom beyond. You may use what wisdom you got, what knowledge you got, for good or bad. They say Al Capone. Anybody ever heard of Al Capone? Well, Al Capone was a guy from Chicago, gangster. They say he had the mind of a very brilliant, brilliant man, but he didn't use it for his brilliance. They say Hitler had a mind, but he didn't use it for the good of God or people. We think about how people crept into their trouble, got into their trouble. You start out one little thing, and we find that's what happened. We find Peter warming himself at the fire of the enemies. What was he doing there at the enemy's fire? Why wasn't he over there comforting Jesus? He got one step away from God, one step away from where he was supposed to be. And that brought him down. Eventually, cursing God, when they taunted him and said, the maiden said, I know you're one of those people. I saw you with them and you have their talk. So to make sure his talk wasn't there, the Bible says he stamped and cursed. Think about a man who would do that to the best friend he had had on this earth. We see our study begin this morning in verse 6, chapter 9. But if you shall turn, now after God had given Solomon all this wisdom, all this stuff, and the right to build his house, and we'll see something about that I want you to remember this morning about his house and God's house. He built God's house. What a privilege. Magnificent. And God's honoring that. In verse 6 he said, but if you shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, we're responsible. If they take that wrong step early in life, didn't do any harm, Pastor. Down the road it will. We're responsible. He tells them over in one of the other chapters that we are to teach them. The first teaching of a child is the responsibility of a parent. It's not the school's problem. It's not the government's problem. It doesn't take a city to raise a child. My mother raised 12 of us in the hills of West Virginia, while my dad was out here at Pittsburgh and Johnstown working on the railroad, making enough money while we dug enough out of the ground to eat. But it's responsibility. It's a big responsibility. But it's yours. God gave that to you. God blessed you with a child, with life, and made you responsible. But if you do that wrong, he said, and will not keep my commandments or my statutes, which I have set before you, but go after other gods and worship them. Oh my. Listen to what he said he's going to do. We wonder why we're in such bad shape. Then will I cut off Israel out of the land I've given them. God has the same principles applying to America. If you forget God, forsake his house, forsake bringing your children in, then he's going to cut you off with a blessing, which I have hallowed in my name. Many people don't know. A few years back, I was helping teach release time. I had three boys. And I said, tell me what you know about Jesus. Not one of those three boys could tell me anything. We'd picked him up at school and brought him. I don't know. One kid said, my dad uses it when he cusses. When he curses, he uses it. We're raising up a generation, folks, that don't know God. Somebody's responsible for that. He said, and then people will go by this house, and he said, they will say, it's just a proverb or a byword among the people. It's not really important anymore. It's not really good anymore. Doesn't need anymore. Don't do. Used to have revivals. Used to have tent meeting. But we don't do that anymore. Don't have any purpose. Nobody wants to do that. We'll go to a party and have a drag queen or something else. And that'll be our socialization. That'll be our family time. He says, and they answered because they forsook the Lord. In verse 9 there, they forsook the Lord. That's how they're going to answer him. Their God who besought, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt. We had men following Washington, right almost close to where we are, to give us an America. We had a state, the one that was promised it would be a godly state and do the things God wanted us to do. And we've taken up on their gods and have worshipped them and served them. Therefore, the Lord brought upon us this evil. The Lord brought upon us evil. The Lord brought upon us a pandemic. The Lord brought upon us the sickness and the disease. The Lord brought up. It was not anybody. He used dummies. The Bible says in Proverbs, God uses devils to accomplish his purpose. And he put the devil onto us. And that's why we're in the shape we're in. We've got to get back to God. We've got to get back to honoring God, his house, his place. In verse 10 he says, and it came to pass at the end of 20 years when Solomon had built two houses, the house of the Lord and the king's house. Now go all the way down, Jason, to the very last point I have. We're not quitting, but I want to show you something. In 1 Kings 7:9, but Solomon was building his own house 13 years, and he finished all his house. Now what did it say back here? It took him 7 years to build God's house. Took him 13 years to build his own house. Took him twice as long to build his house. When you read those things in Ecclesiastes, I was great. I made houses small and great. I made pools of water. I had women in the house. Think of having 1,000 wives. And then he built a god to every wife. A pagan god. Think of that. The wisest man in all the world. The man who knew it all. That's why we left Europe, our ancestors, to get us out of there, to get us close to where we could worship God and have freedom with God. And slowly, but surely, they're ripping it away from us, taking it away. We want to worship voodoo. We want to go palm reading. We don't want to be involved in the church. We don't want to have anything to do with God. It's just a bunch of hooey. That's the way they go at it. Now back to 1 Kings 9:1. And it came to pass that Solomon had finished the building of the Lord, the king's house, and all that Solomon desired, he was pleased to do. And he lived it up. 1,000 wives, richest man in the world. He had it all. He had everything. But he says, when you read that book, he said, it was all vanity. I hated my life. You know why they're taking those drugs? You know why they're getting 1,000 pounds of that pill that's coming across? Because young people hate their lives. They have nothing to work for. Free education. Money everywhere. Cars. Anything you want to do. So they get the pill. Feels good. But they don't come back. Takes their life. Ruins their life. Notice number 2 under 1 Kings 9. And the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time as he had appeared to him in Gibeon. And he had said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou built and put my name there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. That means on and on, passing it on. What's going to happen when the older generation goes? We have to raise up. Right now we have people working in junior church. We have a hard time getting people to work in junior church and with our kids. Who's going to do it? Who is going to do it? I hear Doug Mastriano talking, hopefully our next governor, and he says, my dad fought in World War II and gave us what one writer wrote in a book and sold a book, the greatest gift of all, the greatest nation, and that people of World War II, the ones working in the factory, wives leaving their homes, working, husbands, 17-year-olds going into battle, the greatest ever built was built by the World War II people. Now, what am I giving my son back? What am I giving unto him? And God said, point 3, and the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built and put my name there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. God says, I'll be with you always. What happened to the good old days? The drugs are taking us. All the other junk that the devil keeps pushing at us. Oh, I watch my kids. You go to the shopping mall. Okay, Mom, we're going over here. What's he doing over there? He's over there playing with some machine that's teaching him some evil stuff. Oh yeah, we had a good time. Need some more money, Mom. We'll be back. You can finish up your shopping. What What are our kids doing? What are they learning? And we're taking the public school away from them. They don't get to learn. They don't get to interact with other people. If they don't get it in our church, they're not going to get it. Point four, he says, and if thou wilt walk before me, as David, my father, walked in integrity of heart. David sinned, sure he sinned a big sin. But when the preacher got in front of David and said, David, thou art the man. Psalm 52 gives us his prayer. Oh God, create a new heart in me. Cleanse me, oh God, make me right. I want to teach sinners how to be saved. I can't do that. Give me the joy of my salvation. May I ask you this morning, have you lost the joy of your salvation? It's a duty, not a joy to serve. My, can't wait to get out. Can't wait to go somewhere else. Throw it all over. 1 Kings 9:24. But Pharaoh's daughter came up out of the city of David unto her house, which Solomon had built for her. Then did he build Milo. Pharaoh's daughter, got a nice house built for her. As I said earlier, he built an altar to every one of his thousand wives. Can't you imagine trying to remember all their birthdays? Can't you remember, think about how hard and difficult? No wonder he was miserable. He couldn't satisfy everybody that he had chose. He came up out of the city. Build me a house. I don't want to live in a city. I don't want to be where the rest of those people are. Destroy the country. And then we mentioned in Solomon took 7 years to build the temple. 1 Kings 6:38. In the 11th year, in the month of Bul, which is the 8th month, was the house finished throughout all the parts thereof, according to all the fashion of it. So was he 7 years for God. How much you give to God? Your time, your money. And how much do you give for your pleasure and for other things in your life? What are you doing for God? How much can we take of your gifts and say, they're God? That's what I do for God. God looks over at yours. God says, Guess what? I gave you all of that. Now I'm going to take it back. You start trying to figure out how we're going to get by with all this stuff that's going on. How are we going to pay the taxes? We're talking Sunday school this morning. I thought about this. Who is the payer of the debt? We need to go out. The people that's getting it paid needs to go to those people that pay it, not the government. It's not their money. It's our money. It's our tax money. We're the one who puts that money in there. They need to go to them and say, I'm sorry. I lied when I said I would pay my bill. But I'm not paying it. And I'm putting it all on you. And I'm a liar. And I'm a thief. You understand? How did we get in this shape? By forsaking God and his house. By saying, no, God, I spend too much time in church already. I don't need all that extra stuff. And I gave my tithe, Lord, I don't need to give anymore. He said in Malachi, God said, will you rob me? No, God, I'll tell you where you robbed me. You robbed me in the failure to give your tithes and your offerings. What do you do with what's left over for God? What are you doing for God? And not saying, hey, now make sure I get credit for this. How about just doing for God because you love Him? How about just doing it because that's the God of your life? He's the one you love the most of all. It took 13 years to build his own house. We're just talking about his house, not the women's house, not all the other houses that he bought. What are you doing for God? What is the next pandemic coming at us? And we have become a bitter nation. You know what? We hear of shootings every week. Every week somebody shoots somebody, just shoots them because of hatred. Open your bulletin on the right-hand side, near the bottom. Forgiveness. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger be put away, clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you, and all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We've become an angry people. We've become a mean people. We've become mad. You saw it, I'm sure. A guy standing there, I don't know what he was doing. This guy walks up from behind and cold cocks him, knocks him to the ground. For no reason. Maybe his wife went off another man, I don't know. I don't know what made him mad or angry. Many times they've already done it 4 or 5 times. You know who we should go after? The judges that are letting these people go. We used to put them in an electric chair, but we became so nice. We're so nice, we don't want to put anybody in an electric chair. No, gas chamber, no, that's too cruel. We kill little babies with forceps. But we won't kill criminals. They can kill as many people as they want, but we won't kill them. We want to be a nation sophisticated and not mean and ugly. God said in that book that we forsake, and if he takes the life of one, his life shall be taken from him. We quit paying attention to God and listen to our psychologists and professors, and they're telling us how to go. And we're an angry people, angry with each other. And as Solomon said, we're angry with ourselves. We can't stand ourselves. Solomon said, I hated life. I hated life. You know, he didn't see his dad. And finally Solomon, after all of his writings, has to give everything up to somebody else. Think about that. Think about the life you have, what God has gave you, and you don't want to share it with God, and one day you'll leave it all anyway. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. I've preached many a funeral where after the funeral, here comes people from this side, people this side, and they're fighting. Well, who gets this? And who gets that? Well, I was supposed to get that. And I was supposed to get this. My goodness. What is wrong with us? When they roll you down here or where they put you, that's just a body that had all that you're going one place or the other. Help us, Lord. Help us, God. Help us, Jesus. And the greatest thing in life is to make more money, to have more pleasure for me, and let God go. And let the little kids cry in the street. Let them be born on, die on abortion tables. That's what we've done. And isn't it interesting? We're concerned about people coming into our country and drowning, but we're not concerned about babies that we kill. We're concerned about illegitimate kids, and we're not concerned about babies on the abortion table. What is wrong with our thinking? What is wrong with our thinking? We're all backwards. Jesus said, the day will come when we'll call good bad and bad good. We're there. We're there. Going into someplace the other day, and there was a woman talking, oh, I hadn't seen you. Oh, yeah, here's my little boy, about 4 or 5 years old. Oh, let me see. Got a beautiful earring in his ear. No wonder they won't be transvestites. They're teaching them to be sisters before they ever get grown up. Buy him a pocket knife. Teach him how to use it. Then next step, a gun. How to use it. Be safe with it. Be a man. Walk like a man. You're supposed to be a leader one day. Every one of you, if you decide to get married, I pray you do, we're supposed to multiply, you're supposed to be the leader of that wife and those children, not the other way around. Most men got the ring in their nose. They forgot where to put it. And their wife is leading. Sorry, women, I'm just calling it like the Bible calls it. Poor God. Let's stand. Almighty God in heaven, thou art the God and the Creator. I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and thou that knowest that right well. Lord, help us to get back on the right track. We may not change America, but we can change ourselves, our house, our home, our school, our place of work. Help us, Lord God. While heads are bowed as the piano plays, the altar is open, if God is calling you. Maybe you want to come and say, dear Lord, help me, I need to be a better person. I need to get rid of hatred. I need to quit being so selfish. Help me, O God. Guide me, oh God. The altar's open. We're going to sing a hymn. The invitation's still open. Deals made with God at the altar. Come let God deal with you.
Be
Okay, thanks for coming. Folks, someday, not judging anybody, I don't know what you do and what you don't do, no one knows. But someday, if you were supposed to come to this altar and ask God's forgiveness or betterment of your life, and you didn't do it, you'll face God with it. Please listen to God. Thanks for being here. Don't forget fellowship after church tonight. Brother Ed, would you have a closing prayer, please?